It is very true. It's good to see each and every one of you. Again, we have visitors among us, and we thank you for coming. We hope that you'll come and be with us at every opportunity that you have. If you haven't done so already, I encourage you to take your Bible out. Our appeal is to what the Scriptures say and only what the Scriptures say. We need to ask a question, as Paul would put in Romans 4 and in verse 3 when he wrote in that passage, "For what saith the Scriptures?" Not what saith Donnie about this, or what thinketh Donnie, or what does Donnie feel about it, but what saith the Scriptures. And so our appeal is to what the Bible says. And I'll do my very best to give you book, chapter, and verse for the things that I say. And you take any notes that you'd like to take so that you can study these things further. Many are the passages that talk about faith in the Bible. You're probably already aware of that. A lot of passages that you find both in the Old Testament and the New Testament where the Bible talks about faith. We often think about Hebrews when in that chapter the Bible catalogs a lot of individuals who the Bible talks about the faith that they had. You know, the context of a passage determines what faith or what is meant by the word faith. I've talked with you in Bible classes and from sermons from the pulpit about the word faith. Sometimes the word faith has reference to our conviction of things that we do not see. Perhaps the best definition along those lines of faith is in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, or Hebrews 11 rather, verses 1 and 2, when the Bible says, "For faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." Remember that? And so he then talks about the faith that these individuals had. They had a faith that compelled them to obey. It wasn't that they just believed and did nothing about it. But their belief was so strong in the things that God had said, that God had spoken, that they obeyed what God said. And so in those passages, for example, by faith, Noah, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. Remember that? And so he talks about faith in those passages. He would say concerning those individuals that these all died in faith. And so we know that they had faith, Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 13. Sometimes the Bible talks about the faith in reference to the gospel system, in reference to the gospel of Christ by which you and I can be saved, can be redeemed and reconciled back to God today. And so in our scripture reading, when the Bible talks about, and I encourage you to turn back to that passage with me in Ephesians chapter 4, notice what he says, and we'll pick up with verse 3. Ephesians 4, and in verse 3. He says, "Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body, there is one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling." Verse 5, "There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all." Now folks, when the Bible says in verse 5 that there is but one faith, I can hardly see how a man or woman can justify in having individuals believe that it is a faith of your choice. You believe that it's just simply a faith of your choice and that it doesn't matter what you believe? You can't believe that when you read verses like verse 5 that would say that there is one Lord and one faith. Just as sure as there is but one Lord and one baptism and one Spirit and one God and one body, the body being the church, by the way, Ephesians 1 and Colossians 1, there is but one faith. And that's the faith that I want you to think about for just a little while in the lesson this morning. There's a lot of things that the Bible says can be done with the faith. Are you aware of that? I've come up with 11 things that I want to share with you. We won't talk about all of them this morning. But I'll give you about 5 or 6 in the lesson this morning, and we'll finish it up, Lord willing, next Lord's Day. There's a lot of things, again, that the Bible says can be done with the faith. And so let's think about that for just a moment. The first one that I want you to think about is found in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 1. And again, if you don't get all these references, I'll put some outlines on the back stand, and you can pick one up on your way out and have these references. But in Galatians chapter 1, Paul is writing, of course, to the churches of Galatia. He's writing to individuals who had obeyed the gospel of Christ. They were Christians. Many of them were trying to go back and to serve God under the Old Testament law of Moses. And he's pointing out to them, you cannot do that, right? That won't work. We live this side of the cross, not the other side of the cross, but this side of the cross, and we are under the perfect law of liberty, James 1:25. The law of Christ, Galatians 6, and in verse 2. And so he's writing to these Christians, and notice what he says in verse 23. Let's back up so we can get the context of it. Paul's talking about his conversion, and notice what he says, begin with verse 20. He says, "Now the things which I write unto you, behold, before God I lie not. Afterwards," that is after he had obeyed the gospel, "afterwards I came into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and was unknown by face unto the churches of Judea which were in Christ." Now watch verse 23. "But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth," preacheth what? "Now preacheth the faith which once he destroyed, and they glorify God in me." Did you notice what Paul says can be done with the faith in which he says that they had heard that he did in times past? That he had preached the faith. Now we'll come back to that verse later on and pick up another point. But I want you to see that the Bible says that the faith can be preached. By the way, what are men preaching today? I suggest to you that a lot of the preaching that is echoed forth from a lot of pulpits today, even within the Lord's church, is not the faith, is not the gospel, but a lot of stories and fanciful feelings and experiences that the preacher says that he hears, what he thinks about it, what he feels about it, the way he sees it. But folks, that's not the preaching that will save. Paul stated very simply in Romans 1, verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That's why we put a lot of emphasis at this church here on book, chapter, verse, Bible preaching, and teaching. I hope that you appreciate that. It's not what some man thinks or sees about it, but what the Bible says about it. That's what we'll see. The preaching of the gospel. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and in verse 2, Paul admonished Timothy, "Preach the word." Right? "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine," or some versions say teaching. 2 Timothy 4 and in verse 2. It was that word, the gospel, the faith that was to be preached, proclaimed, that the Lord instructed the apostles to go out into all the world. Remember that? Matthew chapter 28 and in verse 19. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." What were they to teach them? Notice what he says, "Teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." They weren't to go out and to teach what they thought about the matter, but what the Lord had instructed them. And lest they would forget some of those things, the Lord had promised the apostles that he would send a comforter, right? The Holy Spirit to them, and the Holy Spirit would guide and remind them. Guide them into all truth and remind them of all the things that Jesus had spoken unto them. You'll read that in John chapter 14, verse 26, John 15, 26, and John 16, and in verse 13. So they were to go out and preach the gospel of Christ, whereby men and women could be saved. A parallel to Matthew 28 is Mark 16. When the Lord said in verse 15, "Go ye and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." I think about the passage that is found over in the book of Acts chapter 8. We understand that the book of Acts is a book of history in the New Testament. The book that has a lot of conversion accounts and how men and women went from being Jews to being Christians, or from Gentiles to being Christians, from unbelievers to believers, right? In Acts chapter 8 and in verse 4, or verse 5 rather, the Bible says, "Then Philip went down to the city of Samaria." Now watch the force of this next statement. "And preached Christ unto them." Sometimes I do a sermon on what it means to preach Christ, and I take it from Acts chapter 8 and in verse 5. What does it mean when individuals preach Christ? Have you ever asked that question, thought about that? The context tells us in verse 12. Notice Acts 8:12. But when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women. When Christ is preached, people learn about the kingdom of God, about Jesus, and about obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian, God's plan of salvation. And so I want you to see the point that faith can be preached and that we need to be preaching that today. But there's another one that I want us to give our attention to. Again, we're going to go back to the book of Galatians, back to verse 23, and pick up another point from that verse. Notice Galatians chapter 1, verse 23 again. But they had heard only that he which persecuted us in times past now preacheth the faith. And so now Paul is preaching it, but what's the idea in the rest of the verse? Which once he destroyed. Paul's talking about the faith. He's saying, now I'm preaching it, but I used to destroy it. And so I want you to see for the second point that the faith can be destroyed by some. Now don't miss a point. God's Word is steadfast and sure and will stand when the world is on fire and beyond. The Lord talked about that in Matthew 24 and in verse 35. When He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall never pass away. Peter talked about that in 1 Peter 1, verse 25. But this is the word of the gospel which is preached unto you. And he says that it's everlasting. It will not pass away. But Paul destroyed the faith. How did he destroy the faith if the gospel is steadfast and sure? What that means is that he kicked against it, at least tried to. He persecuted those who believed in it. He persecuted those who stood for the gospel. Isn't that what the Bible says about the life of Saul of Tarsus? Later now he obeyed the gospel of Christ and he was called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ and he preached that faith which once he destroyed. Go back over to Acts 8. You remember at the conclusion of Acts chapter 7 when Stephen was preaching to the Sanhedrin, to the council. And they didn't like what Stephen was saying. He was preaching to them about Christ. And the Bible says that they stoned Stephen, right? The first martyr. Put him to death. Executed him. Because they didn't like what he stood for. They didn't like what he preached. But notice that that chapter concludes in verse 60 of Acts 7. He kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time there arose a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. The Bible says in Acts chapter 7 that they laid their clothes down at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. Saul was consenting unto the death of Stephen. That means that he gave his voice in opposition to him. He lent his credence or his support to what the council was doing. There was a persecution against the church. Not a church, by the way, but the church is referenced to as being the church. Right? The persecution against them, they were scattered abroad. Now, watch verse 3. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women, committed them to prison. That's what he was doing in opposition to God's people. And yet he thought that he was doing the Lord's work. He thought that he was doing God a service. Lived in good conscience, he would state in one of his writings. I lived in all good conscience before God and to this day. He honestly thought that he was right. That teaches us, by the way, that we can be sincere and genuinely believe that what we are doing is right and yet be religiously in error. Such was the case with Saul. Now notice Acts 9 verses 1 and 2. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But folks, as he went toward Damascus, the Lord appeared to him, right? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Jesus said, you get up, go into the city, and it'll be told thee there what thou must do. And when he went into the city, folks, he wasn't saved as he traveled to the city, but it wasn't until he got to the city when Ananias told him, as recounted in Acts 22:16, now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, washing away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And then he did a lot of great things in service to God. But prior to this time, he destroyed the gospel. He was kicking against it, trying to shut down those that would preach the gospel of Christ. You think that men and women can try to do that today? Now you think about it. The gospel is not always readily accepted among people today. There's a lot of people that don't want to believe what you believe. They don't want to believe what this book teaches. But we have to preach it anyway and stand for what is right, even when people try to destroy our efforts in doing that. You know, with the TV or the radio program, whatever the case may be, the work that we've got going on here, there may be individuals saying, listen, don't watch Channel 12 when it gets 8:05. You don't need to listen to what they're talking about. Right? Don't listen to the radio come Sunday morning. Don't listen to what those people are saying down there at 415 North Mill Street. Don't pay attention to what they're doing. People may try to do that today, but are we going to throw our hands up in the air and say we're not going to preach the gospel of Christ? We dare not be like that. We'll preach it anyway in the hopes that it will fall among good and honest hearts. And men will hear, believe, and obey the gospel of Christ, that heaven will be their eternal home. And so the faith can be preached. It can be destroyed by those that are opposed to it. And then there's another one I want you to think about. It's found in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 8. Notice this, 1 Timothy 5 and then verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, now watch this statement concerning the faith. He hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel or a non-believer. I want you to learn from that point that the faith can be denied. There's people today who deny the things that this book contains. There's people today who deny that God exists. Remember the psalmist declared in Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. It's a very foolish thing in light of the evidence to deny what this book says. And in the context of this, he's talking about taking care of those that would belong to one's house and even beyond. He says a man will not do that. He's denied the faith. There were individuals in the Bible who denied the truth. You're aware of that, right? We just talked about Saul. But go to Acts chapter 3 and in verse 14. After the establishment of the Lord's church, in the first gospel sermon as recorded in Acts the second chapter, the gospel began to be preached among others. It began at Jerusalem, then going to Samaria, Judea, and so forth, and other parts of the world. The apostles were often called in question about what they were preaching. And notice what the Bible says in Acts 3 and in verse 14. Peter says, but ye denied the Holy One and the just, and you desired a murder to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And His name, through faith in His name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by Him hath given Him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all His prophets, that Christ should suffer, He has so fulfilled. Now I want you to think about that. They denied the just one, the holy one, the one that God sent into the world so that men could be saved, John 3:16, the one that was propitiation for the sins of the world, 1 John 2 and then verse 2. They denied Him. And instead granted or desired a murderer to be granted, released unto them. And Peter tells him, in no uncertain terms, you have taken by wicked hands, you've crucified him, you've killed him. Just like he preached on the day of Pentecost in one chapter before. But I want you to see the point that they had denied the Holy One, the Just One. In Acts 9 and in verse 22. Let's go back and look at verse 2. Desired of him letters, as we read before, to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Jerusalem, proving that this is very Christ. Well, how did he do that? He was preaching about Christ in verse 21. Verse 20 says, and straight when the synagogues, he preached Christ, that he is the Son of God. Verse 21, but all that heard him were amazed and said, is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? And he came here for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests. He denied Jesus. Now, later on, he would do something about it. He would preach Christ that this is the one whom God the Father had sent. But I want you to see the point that individuals today can deny the truth. You perhaps have studied with individuals who, upon studying with them, they say, I just don't believe that. I don't believe that that's what the Bible says in the reading for themselves. I've studied with individuals who say, I know that that's what it says, but I just don't believe it that way. What do you mean you don't believe it that way? God put it in the book. Are you going to believe it His way or your own way? Am I going to believe it God's way or my own way? My own way will not stand. It won't work, will it? We've got to believe God's way. I want you to think about what Peter stated in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. 2 Peter 2, verses 1 and 2. He says, but there were false prophets also among the people, as there shall be false teachers among you. We can't believe everything we hear, right? Just because someone speaks it and have the open Bible doesn't mean you can believe everything they say. He says, there were false prophets among the people, and there's going to be false teachers among you, who probably shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying. There's a word, denying. They'll deny the faith. But notice what they were denying. Even denying the Lord that bought them. And bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. There's people today who will deny the Lord. Peter says they're going to deny the Lord who had bought you. They were bought with a price. He makes that point in the first chapter of 1 Peter, when he talks about you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation and so forth, but with the precious blood of Christ. Remember that? That's what we were redeemed with, that we were bought with. That's what redeemed means. Purchased back. Separated from God, but now we're reconciled to God by the blood of Jesus Christ. And there's individuals that are going to deny that. But as we think about what can be done with faith, I want you to notice another one. And this one is found in Acts chapter 6. And notice verse 7. Acts 6. And verse 7. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. Now watch this next statement. And a great company of the priests were obedient. Obedient to what? Obedient to the faith. And so I want you to see the point that the faith can be obeyed. By the way, have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the faith? Have you? There's no better time than this morning to do that. You're not guaranteed tonight, you're not guaranteed tomorrow, but you have right now that God has blessed you with. Why spurn the invitation? Let's think about being obedient to the faith. In the book of Romans, you know, a lot of times individuals may, in the religious world, will go to the book of Romans and try to say out of that book that we are saved by faith only or by grace only. The book of Romans doesn't teach that, by the way. In fact, there's no verse that says we're saved by anything by itself. I want you to see in the first chapter and the last chapter what the book of Romans begins with and what it ends with. In Romans chapter 1, verse 5, the Bible says, "By whom we have received grace and apostleship," now watch this, "for obedience to the faith among all nations for His name." And so I've underscored in my Bible, you might want to do the same if you write in your Bible, the word obedience. Obedience to the faith. So in pleasing God and coming to God and staying faithful to God, it involves obedience. In the last book, chapter of the book of Romans, Romans chapter 16, and then verse 26, one verse before the book closes, he says, "But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for," there's that phrase again, "for the obedience of faith will never make it to heaven. Heaven will never be my home. Though I may believe the gospel, hear the gospel, if I never obey the gospel." I've got to obey what the Bible says. The Bible puts a lot of emphasis on obedience. Paul does in Romans chapter 6. He talks about the fact that they had obeyed. They were buried with Christ when they were baptized, planted into the likeness of His death, Romans 6, verses 4 and 5. And then in verse 16, beginning, notice what he says. As he contrasts their condition before their obedience to their condition after their obedience. Romans chapter 6, begin with verse 16. "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked." Now he's writing to Christians. Listen to what he says in verse 17. "But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine." That's the gospel, by the way. "That form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then," that is after they obeyed, not before, but after you obeyed, "being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness." Folks, if I've never obeyed the gospel, I'm still a servant of sin. Whether I want to admit that or not, that's the reality. But if I obey the gospel of Christ, then he says you've been made free, set free, now a servant of righteousness. And so I've got to obey the faith. And again, you need to ask yourself the question, have I obeyed the gospel of Christ? But there's one more that I want you to think about as we think about things that can be done with the faith. And this one comes from 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4, and notice verse 1. 1 Timothy 4, 1. Paul is writing to Timothy and pens this. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall," what's this next phrase? "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." So I want you to understand that the faith can not only be obeyed, but the faith can be departed from. We could fill that board with the many passages of the Bible that talk about individuals departing from the faith, departing from a right relationship with God, severing their fellowship with He who created them. I think about Hebrews 3 and then verse 12. "Take heed, brethren, and beware lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief." Now watch him. "In any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God." Now if I came along and said, "Listen, you cannot fall from the faith. You cannot depart from the faith. Once you're saved, you're always saved." How do you reconcile that verse? He just said, "Take heed lest there be in any of you," and he's talking to Christians, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart in departing from the living God." I dare not tell someone that once saved, always saved, when the Bible says that you can depart from the Lord. That's what the Scripture says. In 2 Peter 2, verses 20 through 22, their condition is talked about. He said, but it has happened according to the true proverb. Remember that? We've got the time. Turn to that passage and let's read that together. And you ask yourself the question, can an individual depart from the faith? 2 Peter chapter 2, and let's begin with verse 20. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, that idea of having escaped the pollutions of the world has reference to sin. You know, sin will dirty one, right? It'll dirty us up. Jesus said, now you are clean through the word that I have spoken unto you. John 15:3. Seeing you have purified, that means to be made clean, purified your souls in obeying the truth, 1 Peter 1, and in verse 22 beginning. But he says, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled and overcome, the latter end of them is worse with them than the beginning. Now notice verse 21. For it had been better for them to not have known the way of righteousness, then after they had known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed or wallowing in the mire. How would you want to be described like that? That's how inspiration describes us when we obey the gospel and then we turn our back to the Lord. And we turn and we go back to the ways of the world and are again entangled in those things. And so the faith can be departed from. One more reference. 2 Peter chapter 3 and then verse 17. Can one depart from the faith? Can one fall from the faith? Notice verse 17. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also be being led away with the error of the wicked. Now watch this. Fall from your own steadfastness. That's an admonition. That's a warning that applies to us today. Beware lest you being led away with the error of the wicked fall from your own steadfastness. And so I want to point these things out to you. Things that can be done with the faith because they're important. It can be preached, destroyed, denied, obeyed, and departed from. Have you obeyed the gospel of Christ? There's other things you could add to that. Again, we'll sum that up perhaps next Lord's Day. Have you become a Christian? I want to share with you how the Bible says you become a Christian. There's only one way to become a Christian. That's to do what this book says to do. Someone says, well, there's other ways to become a Christian. Really? By whose authority did men change it? The Bible says in order to become a Christian, one must hear the gospel. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6. You can't obey what you don't know and you've got to hear it. You've heard it this morning. We've been talking about things done with the gospel. God so loved the world, He sent His only Son into the world to die on the cross, shed His blood for the remission of men's sins, Matthew 26:28 beginning. You believe that? Jesus said, except you believe that I'm He, shall die in your sins. So we must hear the gospel, believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus said in Luke 11:13, verse 3, that except ye repent, ye shall likewise perish. Listen, when we repent of sins, that means we stop doing it. We turn. We change our mind about it. It results in a change of action, a change of life. We turn from it, begin to do that which is right. We must confess our faith in Christ that He's the Son of God. The Lord commanded that in Matthew 10:32-33. I have a perfect example of that in Acts 8:37. When as they were traveling, when Philip was teaching the eunuch, they came to a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? Philip said, you can if you believe with all your heart. Notice what he confessed. He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. You willing to make that confession before those present this day? Jesus said, except we confess Him, He won't confess us before His Father. Then you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. Doesn't get any more simple than that. When Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Have you done that? Now's the perfect opportunity. Hebrews 3. Today, while you hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the day of provocation when they provoke the Lord to anger in the wilderness. Don't harden your heart. You've heard the gospel. You can repent of your sins, confess your faith in Christ, be baptized. He'll forgive you of everything you've ever done and add you to the church that you read about in the pages of the Bible. Acts 2 and verse 47. Maybe you have done that, but you've fallen away. Turned your back on the Lord. Why not repent of those sins? Make confession to God in prayer that He'll restore you to faithfulness. We'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.